As ordained leaders in ministry, developing house churches, house church networks, as believers are gathered, the coming to the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, is something very important. At Christian Leaders Institute, we have given this training so that you are a leader, and in this case, you become an ordained leader who is doing the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, baptism. So today we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper at house churches, at regular churches, any size church, but it's very important as ordained leaders that you're trained for doing communion. So let's first of all talk about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is something that Jesus instituted. You know, to me, what's interesting about the Lord's Supper is not only that Jesus instituted it, but that it's something that is about a small group. The Lord's Supper was given to the 12 disciples in their little leadership house church. And that little leadership house church, where they broke bread together, became a metaphor, a model, a method of church planting, house church planting during the early church and for all time. So today we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, verse 26 through 28 says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.'" This institution of the Lord's Supper began what the Catholic Church calls the Eucharist or the Mass. Throughout history, in various denominations and various places in the world, communion has been done, and it will be done until Christ comes back. So let's talk about the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper of a sacrament was commanded and thus instituted by Christ himself, as the Apostle Paul reports in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. This is what it says, "For I received from the Lord." So we just read the passage that Jesus instituted it. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed." And that's that last small group, that last house church leadership, house church meeting before Jesus goes to the cross. "On the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now, to me, this is a crazy, amazing thing from the house church, leadership house church of Jesus, to now the Apostle Paul in house churches in the early church, that here this sacrament, this fellowship meal, this remembrance of the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus is now brought into a ceremony, but not just a ceremony, the significance is even greater. So let's talk about the Lord's Supper. First of all, I want to talk about this as something historic. The teaching of the Lord's Supper and the practice of the Lord's Supper has been going on for 2,000 years, pretty much, you know, almost 2,000 years, the history of the church, since Jesus himself instituted it. So here are some of the historic themes. First of all, the Lord's Supper is a thanksgiving to God, and this is where that word, the Greek word Eucharist, comes in. So in the Catholic Church, for instance, and in the Orthodox churches, they call it the Eucharist, the thanksgiving meal. The Christian community commemorated the Lord's Supper, in which bread and wine and, you know, in cases, juice, are consecrated and consumed. The consecrated elements, especially the bread, and this has been something that historically we see that theme. The bread and wine are the two basic elements of the early church time when Jesus was here. The bread was that core element of sustenance, and the wine was that which was at the table, and it symbolized fellowship. It was just the meal that became very important, and also too they became symbolic for what was happening at the cross. Jesus gave his body, which was symbolized as bread, and he gave his blood. His blood was shed for our sins, which came from the wine. So it was a very powerful metaphor and a very powerful way to give a thanksgiving for the salvation given to us. So in one sense, communion is a Eucharist. It is a thanksgiving meal. Now, historically, how the Catholic Church, there's debates about words like transubstantiation and then consubstantiation and other, historically, the Church has tried to figure out, like, in what sense is this the body of Christ? What sense is this the blood of Christ? And we're not in this presentation going to debate all of those things. And we would not even hold to an opinion like, transubstantiation, where the elements become the body and blood of Christ as you are partaking them. Those are debates that you can talk about in the theology class. However, we do believe the real presence of Christ is at this Thanksgiving meal. So, but understand still, it's important to see that in one sense, it's a Thanksgiving meal. Another way is the Lord's Supper is a memorial of Christ, and that is the Greek word anamnesis, a recollection. In particular, the remembering of things or of a person, and the meaning and its significance. So let's talk about anamnesis one first. Now, in the early times, historically in creation, anamnesis, this remembering, was really very powerful when memorial was not just like you remember someone's death. Like if you go to a memorial or make a memorial, you're focusing on the fact that that person died. Now, we also understand that in a memorial, it's when you make a memorial about someone, it's not just that the person died. We understand that too, but you're remembering their whole life. When someone makes a memorial gift, it's to look at the cause by which that person lived, and then when that cause aligns with maybe an organization or something, there's something as named in a memorial to that person. But it's that person's life, it's that person's causes, it's that person's belief system, and the support of that particular cause that the memorial is often made. The Lord's Supper is in that sense a memorial, a remembering of the birth, the life, the death for our salvation, the resurrection, the defeat of death, the ascension that he is still with us. So in another way, it's that sense. It's a memorial, a recollection, and the story of Christ Jesus is our story. So when we partake of the elements, we are partaking of the story of Jesus as it relates to us. And that right away brings up the Lord's Supper historically has been understood as a participation in the body and blood of Christ. Now, a participation. What that is talking about now is how, as we remember the story, so first of all, we give thanks for what God has done for us. Then, we, as we partake the story of the life of Christ, the significance of what he did is now, in this next sense, internalized. In other words, Christ's story becomes our story. Christ's death becomes our death to sin. Christ's life, for to me, to live as Christ and to die as gain, becomes my participation. I internalize this. This becomes in my very being, of my existence. So when we partake of communion, it is so tangible as we partake of the bread and the wine, the juice. His identity becomes in our identity. Here's another powerful theme of communion throughout the ages. And again, these are all based in the institution of Jesus Christ of the Lord's Supper and as the Apostle Paul applies it to house churches. Another one is the Holy Supper, the Lord's Supper, signifies the work of the Spirit, the eleusis, the epilesis, I should say, exampled, and I'll give an example of just a church. The United Methodist Church really talks about this, the epiclesis. That's the exact pronunciation, by the way, the epiclesis. And here's an example that they say when they do the Lord's Supper. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be in the world, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other. Now, what we see, like in the book of John, when Jesus was with his disciples the last night or last time, he says, I will send a comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. And how throughout Christianity, some of those themes came into the Lord's Supper. And again, there's various debates in what sense is the presence of Christ there at the Lord's Supper. And one thing we can all agree on, for sure, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the epiclesis, the encouragement, the comfort of the Holy Spirit is with us. The very presence of Christ is with us when we partake of the Lord's Supper. So we see that historic theme so true to form as we partake in the Lord's Supper. One more thing, or maybe a few more things. The next thing is the Lord's Supper symbolizes the unity of the church in all times and all places. Now, in what sense is there unity? Well, basically there is a unity when it comes to the practice. It's still the bread symbolizes his body, the blood symbolizes his the wine symbolizes his blood. That practice, that meal, that time together, centuries upon centuries, in various church traditions, we all are together on this, that the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the significance of Christ's story directly affects our lives, even today. So at a house church meeting, when we partake of communion, We're saying the story of Christ is our story. The presence of the Holy Spirit is there. The unity of the body of Christ universally over timeless, over 2,000 years, we are together on this. It's a powerful historic theme. Here's something else which is a powerful historic theme of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper seals the present and coming kingdom of God. Like we read, Jesus said, "I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So what this is, it's a powerful call of hope. Just picture the disciples wondering what the Last Supper was all about. The conclusion of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So in this Last Supper, while Jesus is in his little leadership house church with his disciples, there's worry in the air. What's going to happen to you, Jesus? And Jesus has this meal, and it's a powerful, significant meal of bread and wine and his body and his blood to be poured out. All of this is occurring. And it could look really dark and, oh, this is it. It's over. But no. We will drink together again. And this is not the last meal. This is not the last time. I believe that even now, as we partake in this, we take communion together, and someone passes away. It's not done for them. The feast, we read also in the book of John 20, near the end of Jesus' ministry, "I will prepare a place for you." This is not all there is. And I will come back. So when Christ comes back, we will fellowship with him in a way we have never dreamed. But even when a loved one dies, they are now with Christ in blessed glory. So, every time we take communion, in the truth that Christ will continue to fellowship with us for all eternity. Powerful Christian theme. So, I want to get down to some real details here. As a house church leader, a church planter, a church leader, what are these actions that, as ordained leaders, that we participate in? Well, it's part of it. At the very root, the actions are somehow the taking of bread and wine, or juice for that matter. Somehow there's a giving thanks, and I think that's awesome. Whenever we eat, and I suggest this in general, if you go out to eat with your spouse, pray before you eat. Give thanks, just in your normal life. Even if you're at a restaurant or someplace else or at home, just give thanks. So in communion, it's that same way. It's about the food, but it's spiritual food. The elements point to the story of Christ. It's about giving thanks. It's about, there at some point in there where there's a drama that occurs, where as an ordained leader, you break bread that everyone sees that the body of Christ was given for the complete remission of all of your sin. I mean, the story of our atonement, of our forgiveness, is in that story. And this is something, so it becomes a meal that all of a sudden becomes a drama. So there's that element. And then there's the sharing among God's people, those who are there. So those are the basic actions. And when we do this, to really grasp that it's a memorial meal in this sense, that the memorial of Christ refers to his entire life, ministry, his death, resurrection, ascension, and return, And while we're doing this, to call to some other passages that help us recall that, like here's one is an example, Philippians 2:8-11. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we see in Scripture so much of what we're revealed goes back to the great story that's illustrated dramatically in communion. So, let's now talk about very specifically the leading of the Lord's Supper. Now, we believe that ordained leaders ought to do this. Now, I know there's various debates in this. Some people just believe a father can do that for their family or a mother. Some people believe that only a priest can do this. At Christian Leaders Institute, in the Christian Leaders Church Network, what we understand is ordained leaders are called to exercise the institution of the Lord's Supper. Okay, so that's what you're becoming in this class. You're becoming a representative of the church. In your local area, when you receive your three recommendations, and if you are going to be ordained in the Christian leaders' churches, you also have the cover of the Apostolic Council. So to give communion, you must be ordained, whether that's ordained in the Alliance, and then you have the cover of your local churches, or whether you're ordained in the Christian Leaders Churches Network. So, and we believe that because we share with ordained leaders the concern that the table of the Lord would be looked at in a serious and somber way. That, 'cause this is a meal for believers. This is a meal for people who are living the life. I mean, again, no one lives the life perfectly. Everyone still struggles with sin. We understand all that. But there is a sense of supervision that an ordained leader is supervising the table. 1 Corinthians 11:27, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So there is a seriousness to this. So as an ordained leader, we pay attention that somebody, for instance, is a believer who partakes. You know, we had a house church meeting recently, and we know that an unbeliever attended the house church meeting. Friends of one of the members of the house church, and we're going to do communion. And as the ordained leader, I chose not to do the Lord's Supper because I did not want to just force on someone out of peer pressure that this person would take communion when they haven't made a profession of faith. Okay, so that's why as an ordained leader, we take very seriously that we're supervising the table. There is a serious side of communion. Here's another passage, 1 Corinthians 11:28-29. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Fascinating. You know, there's a way, you know, I've thought about this over the years. Like, what does that mean? Like, that someone would eat and drink judgment to themselves. And, you know, I thought about this over the years, and really it comes down to this very basic core thing. Christ saves you, or you try to save yourself. And, you know, I remember the story of Napoleon when he became the emperor, and he wanted to diss the Christian church, so he puts the crown on the head himself, even though the priest is there. And I believe that is true. Like, we have to realize that Christ saves us, that we can't save ourselves. And there's a worthy manner of taking the Lord's Supper where there's it's very carefully, the coronation does not come from ourselves. It comes from the means that God has provided. And we don't want people just to take of the Lord's Supper as if I'm going to save myself and I'm going to take Jesus' work how I want Jesus' work to be done for me. That's an unworthy manner. So there is a serious side where, again, ordained leaders have the gravity of that serious side. So with ordained leaders, then there's a celebration of communion at house churches. So as an ordained leader in your house church, how would you look at this? Well, first of all, maybe start the service with prayer or a worship song, that communion service. Then remember it's a believer's meal, and again, you're supervising even in real time. I would encourage that you share a little bit, like a theme. You know, we talk about these basic themes. Pick a different theme, you know, whether it's the hope that someday the table of our Lord will be set for us in glory, or maybe it's the internalizing the story of Christ. There are so many passages that talk like that. Then pass out the elements, and there's various ways to do it, whether you pass out the elements or whether you dip the elements. Many of you are in your own Christian network and you know how to do that locally, and maybe there'll be more tools that we'll give for various styles of doing that. You can look on the internet and there's so many amazing ways that people actually do the act. And then there's the closing prayer and maybe end with a meditative worship song. These are just suggestions. And again, I know that there's many, many ways to execute this very thing. So, you know, I just congratulate you for seeking to serve the Lord. And in this house church setting, the Lord's Supper is a powerful sacrament where, as leaders, you are called to participate and just enjoy the whole process. So I want to close this time in a short prayer for you. Lord, as these leaders are seeking to be ordained and will become ordained, and they can do the very powerful and very meaningful Lord's Supper, we pray that this is something that Christian leaders, churches, and in the Alliance, even at Christian Leaders Institute, that we enjoy and participate with, that brings blessing to those in our lives, those we're leading. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.